I'm going to talk to you about the faith of Abraham. And in the Old Testament, you know, there are prominent men who helped bring us to Christ. I think of Noah, I think of Abraham, Moses, David, some of the prominent Bible characters that God, like David said, is a man after his own heart, and Noah found favor in the eyes of God. These men and women, as the Hebrew writer points out, that brought us to where we are today through their faith. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn over there, in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, there's quite a highlight of various individuals in their faith and aspects of their faith. And just the study of the 11th chapter is a good study in and of itself, which kind of just takes a bunch of different characters. But if you look at verse 33, through the end of the chapter, listen to how he kind of mentions, well, actually, I don't want to go back to 33. I want to look at 32. What shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, Samson, prophets, who through faith, here's what I want you to look at, they subdued kingdoms through faith, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings, scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goat skins. We talked about pilgrims and strangers the other day. And be destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom, I've always loved this verse, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect, they should not be made perfect apart from us. So he points out that they endured. They went through a lot of different things. You can't help but think of Daniel stopping the mouth of lion, quenching fire. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and thrown into a fiery furnace. They did all that because they had courage, they had faith, and they trusted in Almighty God. And many of them died in their service to Jehovah's God. They literally had their life taken. I think of Stephen in the New Testament as a martyr who had his life taken from him because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. But the Hebrew writer in verse 40 says their faith wasn't complete. It was incomplete. It wasn't perfect without us, without you and I, without the church of Jesus Christ, without the redeemed in Christ. So where they were headed comes to its fulfillment in you and I today in the church, and that, as it says, they were not made perfect apart from us. And he's writing to Christians. So that's a great thought to be thinking about, and you might want to think more on that. So all of history, and as Brother Richie mentioned, I mentioned again this morning, we were talking about Acts. This is a history book. It lays out how the earth began, and there's a lot of history here that takes us through a lot of time. But that history is pressing forward to the time of Christ in his church and the kingdom. And so just that fact, we are very blessed to be saints in the church of God. We are very blessed to be saints in the church of Christ. In the very beginning, and by that I'm going to go back to Abraham, when this kind of all started, when God selected a special people for himself. And so we're going to look at Abraham and his faith and why God did that. We're going to look at just like two occasions of how special of a person he was because of his faith. He was not an super person. He wasn't something that you and I cannot be. He just made up his mind and had faith and trust and confidence in God. So we're going to point that out. But when God was selecting a special people, and then think about where that ended up, it ended up in all the families of the earth being blessed, in you and I as Christians in the church. See, it all culminated again to you and I, God's special chosen people today. So it starts with a man with incredible faith, and that man was Abraham. And when God's word draws attention, I want to point this out too. When God's word says, I want you to have faith, and you say, well, what does that mean? He says, I want you to go look at Abraham. And he says, that's what I'm looking for. In fact, I've got a chart that you've seen me use where it takes an arrow and it says, nope, he goes right over the law of Moses. He goes right past all that and he says, this is what I'm looking for. This is where I started and this is what I was pleased with, and you need to have that kind of faith as well. So he is a man that in James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says that he was a friend of God. He's called the friend of God. And that's very important. If you want to know, are you a friend of God? How would you answer that question? Well, Jesus said in John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I tell you. Whatever I command you, if you'll do that, then you're my friend. So when we sing a song, I'll be a friend of Jesus until my years shall end, we're singing that and making a statement that, yes, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be his friend. The very key to faith is obeying God. Now, that is, and we'll just make a few points about that, but your religious friends around, they miss this whole point, that somehow faith doesn't have to obey. You just believe, and it, all that other stuff doesn't matter. And that is so sad, and that is such a lie. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So when you look closer at his life, when you look at the scriptures and what it says about Abraham believing in God, what you find, as we're going to see, is that means he doesn't just believe. Encapsulated in belief, in faith, I've talked about how important it is to connect trust to faith. Stronger faith, stronger trust is going to be. But embedded in faith is obedience. So when the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, that belief is, I believe and I will act, I will obey, I will do the next part that has been commanded. I won't balk at that, I will do that. And that you'll find that's true. And that's really the whole point of James chapter 2 in many, many ways when he says this. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So don't tell me that my being obedient, and that's what we're talking about, works. What works? God's works, good works. God has created us to be a zealous people, zealous of good works. I mean, he wants us to be busy doing good works. And that's how you know a person has faith. They're obedient and they're doing those good works. And a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to talk about that. But he's making that point that faith without works is dead. If you won't do something and you just believe, then your faith is nothing. It's dead. In that context, we could study James chapter 2. It's not profitable. Faith, and the only time it's mentioned as being alone, he says, it can't be alone there in James chapter 2. It has to be connected to works. And so when we look at closer, and again, most religious people around us, they have bought into that particular lie. And what happens is their faith is empty. It's vain. It's alone. It has no sustenance. Because, and if that's all it is, I was trying to think of, well, what does that mean? Well, this is the word I settled on. It's just a show. There's nothing to it. There's no substance. They're just putting on a show. Their faith is dead. And so, why do you have to be baptized? You know, that's commanded, but why do you have to be baptized? You don't have to be baptized. And then they say, well, you don't have to sing. You can be entertained. You can be entertained by others who are playing instruments. That somehow faith doesn't have to be obedient. You don't have to sustain from sinful things of the world. You can continue as you are. But the faith of Abraham teaches us otherwise. I mean, he really does when we go back and we look at him. And so those two occasions we're going to look at where Abraham's faith shined is the time that God told him to leave his family and go to a land that he says, I'm going to give him. And the other is that time he was said, I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice. Remember, the very son I finally gave you, I promised him and I gave him, yeah, I want you to take him and I want you to kill him. So we're going to try to make that kind of become real to us in a sense to where we get a good handle on that. Now, this particular point is to just point out God had a plan. God had a plan in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Before the world even was created, God already had all of these things in mind. And he can do that because he's God. He can have a foreknowledge. And because of that foreknowledge, because he knows, I'm going to give man the ability to make a choice. He says, when I make give him the ability to make a choice, I know that at some point in time, it happens with Adam and Eve, they will disobey what I've told them to do, and I've got a plan about that. And so this morning we talked about sin and separation and death, and that's exactly what sin did. But in Ephesians chapter 4, just as he chose us, that's you and I, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. The plan unfolded in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel. When he ascended, he is sitting at the right hand of God. God gave him the preeminence. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And that plan came right down to us today for us to be holy and blameless, a people in Christ. And so he had a plan, and he already put it, and so anybody, it's for everybody. He didn't pick you and kick you out. It's for everybody, but he already had the plan. That's the predetermined part. But it led to this end. God chose Abraham, and he told him to, and this goes back to the beginning, leave your family and your homeland. There in Genesis chapter 12, Steve read verse 1 and 2. Look at verse 3 and 4. Let's kind of pick up that reading real quick. He says in 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed, Genesis 12, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God told Abraham to leave his family. Now, I made that decision. It was my choice back in 1993 when I left Tampa because I popped in and out of my parents' home. And, you know, my junior year, I finally moved out my senior year. And then I was kind of on my own, but Mom and Dad were still there. We were all still in the same area. I could see them anytime I wanted. But I made the decision, and I took Lisa and Nicholas as a little baby of, 8 months, something like that, 8 months old. Put him in a U-Haul in a baby, I don't even know what they're called anymore. It's been so long ago. And put him in the front seat of that U-Haul, and off we went. So I left my family. That was my choice. Abraham, think about this day and time. Abraham is told, leave your family, leave your homeland. Upon doing so, God promises him, he's going to give him a land. He's going to increase his family status to a great nation. And Abraham, through him, all families of the earth would be blessed in his leaving his family and his country. And we know that all that came about. We know it does because we have the scriptures. But Abraham didn't know. That's what I want you to understand. Abraham did not know how all that was going to turn out. How could he know? And I want you to understand that He's leaving his family. He's leaving his country. And he's leaving all of this behind. And he does this because he has faith. He has a belief in God. The text tells us in verse 4 that Abraham believed God and he left. He believed what God told him and he left. What is the "he left" part? He obeyed. Did you catch how old he was? 75 years old. Now I realize things were a little different. People lived much longer. But the Hebrew writer puts it this way. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. He says in verse 8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise." So he went out not knowing where he was going. It's been very interesting to teach my children to drive. I'm way past that now too. But I'm thinking particularly about Bailey, Kara, Emma. Bailey already could have got her license when we moved here. But we moved to a new area. And so she wasn't quite comfortable in just going and getting her license. And so we practiced around here. It was amazing to me that they could sit in the car, they could come down here three times a week, and then they get behind the wheel and they have no idea where they're going. No clue. No clue. I would literally have to say, "Now where are you going to turn?" And I would wait and I would wait, and they'd go right on past the Rule King, which was a Kmart back then, and then I was like, "That's okay, let me show you something new. When you get down to Avalon, it's going to take you right to the building." But it was amazing. They had no clue. And they're growing up in a time where they have GPSs. They don't have to worry about any of this stuff. But Abraham didn't know where he was going. And how many of you would set out not knowing where you're going? We would say, "Well, we're just going on an adventure. We're just going to fly." And a lot of them say, "Well, that's rather foolish. You don't know where you're going. We're just going to wander around." Well, Abraham left and he went to a foreign country. Now, I want you to think about how big a deal that is. There are a lot of places I haven't been. But you know, I see pictures of them. I can go online and I can watch videos. I can learn. I haven't been to the Bible lands. But a lot of the pictures Barry put out there, I'm going, "I've showed that picture before. I've got that one." Maybe he took it with his camera, but wow, I found all of that. It's like, if you want to tour probably the museum in Israel that he goes, you could probably find a video that where somebody takes you through a tour. You can have a 3D interactive whatever. You know, all I'm trying to get is, we have videos, we have of faraway places, and in our day and time, you can become familiar with the foreign country. That when you get there, how many times do you do this? I do this. I use Google Maps. I'll put in a place, and then I'll hit that, "Show me what the building looks like." And by the way, before I moved here, you guys, your address, before I got here, it was a mattress place down the road. When the address has changed, I called Ken Chapman, who was preaching at Helton Drive, who I knew, and I said, "I can't find this place." I literally was going on Google Map up and down on 157 down. I couldn't spot this building. Saved my life. We do this all the time. He didn't have any of that. Do you understand what it means? God said go and he went, not knowing where he was going. And I wanted to put this map up. When he set out from the Ur of Chaldees, where he ended up going is to Haran. Anybody want to guess how far that was? 641 miles about. No car. Would that be going to a foreign place? You think about, I don't have a clue where I'm going. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know the first thing about where God's taking me. Would you go? Do you see why God would say, here's a special person that has faith? Talk about faith and going on a journey. In the depth of his faith, he believed God and what he told him. He trusted God and he obeyed God. And there are things that I don't fully understand. But we've been talking about God's providence. I do not fully understand that. The Holy Spirit, as we study that, I don't fully understand that. Heaven, I don't know how to fully understand that. Death, never been there. But by faith, I trust God and I obey. And Abraham did so and he obeyed. And then the second one is, of course, offer your only son as a sacrifice. And that's in Genesis chapter 22. Now, we talked about recently running ahead of God. So I brought that lesson. Abraham is 100 years old when he finally gives birth. You remember, take my servant. How is this going to happen, God? No, it's not going to come through your servant. Sarah says, this isn't happening. Take my handmaid, Hagar. That was a disaster. But he finally has Isaac. And then God says, Abraham, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. How do you wrap your mind around that? I don't know why I read, here I am. I think of Abraham being very mature. Here I am. But I put a little exclamation in that. We don't know. The passage tells us God is testing Abraham. He's testing Abraham's faith. Will he obey? And people struggle. What kind of God would tell a man to go kill his son? The very son that he just said, that's the one I'm going to fulfill the promises that you've been waiting for on. And that's what God told him to do. What a test. Offer your only son, Isaac, who no doubt he loved, offer him as a burnt offering. That picture in the corner, if you had an opportunity to look at it when it was on the first screen, was a little bigger, kind of really puts it in front of you from the standpoint of, here is a father that has bound his son and he's going to kill him. He's 100 years old when Isaac is born. And we don't know how old Isaac is. He's old enough to be carrying and walking and smart enough to figure out we don't have a sacrifice. This is hard to understand why God would put Abraham through this kind of test. But one of the things that strikes me is there is not a single record of him questioning God's will. The Bible doesn't tell us. He asked why. He said, can you explain this to me before you do that? Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He goes off to this faraway place. It's actually 3 days to do exactly what God told him to do. No record of him balking, nothing. Let's read 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, which is exactly what he did in Christ. And so he tells him, my son, God will provide. Then they came to the place, verse 9, of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know, he's passed the test, that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So this whole idea of a faith and the testing of his faith, he passed. We'd say he passed with flying colors. The Hebrew writer says this, if you'll look at the Hebrew account over in Hebrews 11. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. I remember a young man in high school talking with him about faith and works. He believed that you didn't have to be baptized. You were not saved that way. That's a work. As we were talking about this and I was pointing these things out, he says Abraham didn't offer his son. Did that say Abraham offered his son? I read it offering up his son. Literally, did he? No, God stopped him. But let's read on. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, what that tells me is something that you don't read about in Genesis. The Hebrew writer tells us Abraham understood, and he believed and he trusted. God said he's going to do this through Isaac. If I kill him, he had belief that God would move forward and could raise him up. Now, you don't read that in the account, but the Hebrew writer tells us that that was so. Now, to make some application for us as we wind this down, there are times God is trying our faith. He is proving us. James chapter 1 comes to mind. James chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Oh, I read the wrong verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So basically, yeah, we our faith is tested. We don't have a record. We don't turn around and... But God tests our faith. This is different than temptation. God doesn't tempt any man, but God does try us. There are adversities, there are trials, there's sorrow, there's fear. And so we learn from Abraham to trust in God, to believe in God, to obey God. For example, while I obey him and pray for my enemies and do good unto them, doesn't seem like a natural thing, but that's exactly what God calls us to do. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, the genuineness of your faith, what? May be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So how will you respond when God tests your faith? Reject his will for your own? Grumble, complain? Why am I going through this? Do you develop bitterness and hatred and anger? Back now, James chapter 1, verse 12, where he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." Endures the trials, endures a temptation. And I'm looking specifically at the testing. So after God tested Abraham's faith in the offering of his son, look in Genesis chapter 22 one last time. You know what he did after he passed, after he met the trial and did exact this very hard thing that God called him to do because of his faith, because he trusted in God? God reaffirmed his promises in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, saying, the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham believed God and he obeyed. That should say John chapter 5 verse 4. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so I look at all this, is it any wonder that Abraham's family became the chosen people of God? I don't find it hard to believe that he would be a friend of God, because he had the kind of faith that you and I need to have, and we can have that same kind of faith through our own trials, through our own challenges in life. Well, you might be here this evening, and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talked this morning about the gospel of Christ and how important it is to obey it. Maybe tonight is the night that you will obey that command. It is your faith that needs to step up, because you believe in God, and be obedient and obey that gospel of Jesus Christ from the heart. If you're willing to do that, we're ready to help you and assist you in that. If you're a child of God and you need prayers on your behalf, or you need to confess sin, we'll be happy to help you in any way as you make your way to the front. Let's all stand and sing.